If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John in chapter 14. I want you to think about this statement. Deep down, I think that we all want to know and believe that God is in control. I think we all want to know God. I would suggest that even the world that seems to be doing its own thing as fast as it can, deep down, really wants there to be some loving higher power that's got their best interest at heart. Someone once said that every person has a God-shaped hole in their lives. A God-shaped hole that can only be filled by God. And I wonder if many of us have ever considered carefully the truth of which Jesus speaks in the text that we're going to look at this morning. And I think there's one powerful truth seen here that's given with the intent to deeply encourage followers of Jesus and the intent to strengthen them greatly in their lives lived for Christ here and now on this earth, in this place, in this day in which we live. And that truth is this, and then I want to read the passage together and then we'll dig in a bit. Here's the truth that I think is taught by Christ in this passage and is encouraging us with. The truth is this, that Jesus Christ will make himself known to all who love him. Jesus Christ will make himself known to all who love him. I want you to follow along as I read John chapter 14, beginning at verse 18. Through verse 24, now you follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. John 14 and verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And verse 22 says, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So here's this truth. Jesus Christ will make himself known to all who love him. So let's look at what we just read as it shows us how that's true. Jesus, beginning in verse 18, tells his disciples with, I think, the intent of encouraging them as they're fearing his absence. They're thinking about the fact that he's talking about going away. And they so believe that they need him in the flesh. He's trying to encourage them for the troubles that will come, the challenges that they will face, the days of doubt that they will face. And he's trying to encourage them. Verse 18, look at it again. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, at first, we might think back just a few verses where Jesus is talking about sending another helper. Who's that helper? Well, that helper is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes up a permanent residence in the life of every believer today. But because of what immediately follows verse 18, when Jesus says, I will come to you, I think he's now speaking of the fact that they will see him after his resurrection. I think that's what he's pointing to. So Jesus gives his disciples on that night this, for them it would be a precious promise, as they were trying to grapple with this idea that he was going to leave them. And he says, I'm not going to leave you all alone. I'm not going to leave you all alone. I'm not going to treat you like orphans. I will come to you. And those would be precious days when Jesus would show himself to them after his resurrection. Those would be precious days for Christ's followers when he would come to them after the resurrection from the dead. And they would realize it was Jesus living, the one they had seen crucified. But I want you to note this. There's also a sobering truth implied here. And here's that sobering truth. It's that people without Christ, people without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, are left alone. The original language here could mean not only an orphan, but it could mean a child with only one parent, or even disciples without their teacher, without their master. And though the world without Jesus are like orphans with no one to care for them and guide them and instruct them and make them right with God, followers of Jesus, those whose trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not left alone. They are not left to fend for themselves in this world that opposes Christ. Now, the believer will be cared for by God. You can take that to heart. God's word teaches that. And though Jesus must leave his disciples, he must leave them for their own good, because not only will he die for their sins, he will also live again for them. And they will see him again. And as we saw here in chapter 14 last time, a couple of weeks ago, he will send another helper, the Holy Spirit. But first, he will come to them after the resurrection. He will show himself to them. And that's the context we see in verse 19. Note that Jesus says here, yet a little while. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. So the world will no longer see Jesus. But as his disciples, they will see him. The world in a little while will no longer see Jesus in the flesh. Initially, they will see, believers will see him after the resurrection. They will speak with him and he will teach them once again, and then he would ascend to heaven. But there's another sense that as followers of Christ, we keep seeing Jesus. We don't see him in the flesh, but we keep seeing Jesus because he reveals himself to us even after his ascension. How's that, you might think? How in the world? All true followers of Jesus will see him in a sense. They will see his work, knowing that he is alive, knowing that he is work in them. And as they remain on earth, believing in him, growing in their faith, they will see that he is at work in the world and in his people and in his church. And I say we'll see Jesus in a sense because it's such a mystery to us how this works. We will not see Jesus in bodily form, but he will nonetheless reveal himself to those whose faith is in him. He will reveal himself to us in our own hearts, in our own minds. Listen to a passage from 2 Corinthians 4. And if you want to just keep a finger here in John 14, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 4 for a moment. There's a passage here which speaks very clearly of this when it says this in verses 4 through 6. So 2 Corinthians 4. Actually, let me back up to verse 3. Verses 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. This is the world that cannot see Jesus, speaking about those who can see Jesus because they have faith in him, the gospel they believed in. Verse 4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see it there? You may not see Jesus physically, but you can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ through faith in him as he reveals himself to you. Let light shine out of darkness, God said when he created light. And like that, in the darkness of our hearts before Christ, he brings us to himself. He opens our eyes. We have faith in Christ, and now we begin to see him for who he is, as opposed to the world that rejects Christ and their sight is veiled and they're still in darkness. So for all believers in Jesus Christ, we have this promise that we will continue to see Jesus at work in us as we walk with Christ, not in bodily form. And yes, it's hard to explain. It's even hard to understand. But we'll see the work of Jesus in us as he shines, as 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that miracle in believers. And I want you to note also here in John 14, back to John 14 and verse 19, how this is all possible. How is it that believers are able to now see the work of Jesus Christ in them? Jesus says in verse 19, because I live, you also will live. So not only will followers of Jesus see him in a sense as they live for him this side of heaven, but this is possible only because God, the Creator, who says, again, let light shine out of darkness, gives eternal life to all whose faith is in Jesus Christ because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, which we just celebrated with communion, the Lord's Supper. And because Jesus rose from the dead, and because he lives, his disciples would also have victory over death. And we have victory over death even now, even though physically we face death. I know that we'd like to be raptured to heaven before we die, but we face the fact that our bodies are falling apart. We got home last week from camping for a week with our adult children and their wives and some of our sons who are unmarried and our grandchildren, and it was a week of fun. And one of the traditions that we have that we still are able to maintain is playing volleyball together every day that we can, and sometimes many times during the day. But I'm still sore. That was a week ago that we quit. I'm still sore. It gave me great joy to hear some of my adult sons, after we were done playing, like the next day say, man, I'm still sore from yesterday. It's like, good. Good. You're getting old too. We know our bodies are falling apart. We know we're facing death. But because Jesus lives, you too will live if your faith is in Jesus Christ. You can face an earthly death, but you have an eternal existence that awaits you in Jesus Christ. In fact, you're already living your eternal life. Because all that can happen, I know this doesn't sound like nothing, but all that can happen is your body can die. You are kept in Christ. So not only will followers of Jesus see him in a sense as they live for him, but they'll live again and see him face to face one day. And we'll see Jesus as he is. And because Jesus rose from the dead and lives, his disciples on that day, in those days in which they lived, would have victory. And disciples of Jesus Christ in this day in which we live can now have victory in Christ, victory over death. And now all who believe in him have that same victory, and we'll see him and we'll reign with him in his eternal kingdom. Well, that will be the day, won't it? We look forward to that, don't we? And yet here we are still in this day, and yet there's hope for this day. There's strength for today because Jesus still works in his people and still reveals himself to his children and still shows himself to them and still makes himself known and still opens our eyes to see him as he is from his word, as he works in us by his Spirit. So later this truth would embolden his disciples. His resurrection gave assurance that they would also not be overtaken by death. And this is the confidence of every believer today. God give you confidence to live every day for God's glory. We hear it in Hebrews 13:6 when it says, "So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We tend to fear man, don't we? We fear what people think about us, will say about us, what they might do to us. But really, the worst anyone can do to a believer in Jesus is take their physical life, but they can't take the believer's eternal life. They can't take the believer's life in Christ. That's theirs forever. If you're in Christ, that's yours forever. And that is because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus' life means life for all who believe in him. And because there's eternal life for all who believe in him, there's also this wonderful and precious knowledge of Jesus which the world cannot have, that only believers can have. In this way, believers have always seen Jesus, even though we don't see him in the flesh. While the world has not seen Jesus. Now, how is it that Jesus will make himself known to all who love him? And how will they know Jesus to be the one true God? Look at verse 20. "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." That's an incredible promise. Here again, I think Jesus is speaking of the days immediately following his resurrection, speaking to his disciples, when after the resurrection, only the disciples would see him or other believers that he revealed himself to. Jesus would show himself and they would see him. Unbelievers will not see him after his resurrection, and the world cannot see Jesus Christ now. They need eyes of faith. They need God to draw themselves to himself. They need God to open their eyes so that they can see Jesus. That's what we pray for, isn't it? There are many people I pray for salvation for, that God will draw them to himself, open their eyes so that they can see who Jesus is and believe in him and be saved. It's a sobering truth for unbelievers, but it's a joyful truth for believers that only believers see Jesus. Only those who place their faith in him will know and see his working in their lives. Only followers of Jesus Christ will know his Spirit is living in them. And they'll know he's working for their spiritual good, for their spiritual growth, and for their life in this world, that it might glorify him. And it's because of the resurrection we have confidence that Jesus is God, that Jesus is who he said he is. It's because he conquered death, it's because he rose from the dead and lives today, that the disciples then and all disciples of Jesus now have known and do know that Jesus is the Father, is in the Father. The Father is in him, and We are in Christ. Lord Jesus Christ is in believers by way of His Spirit, His indwelling presence. Take great joy from that confidence. Verse 21 says this, thinking of this fact that in that day, as Jesus says to His disciples, you will know My work to be real. Looking at verse 21, note how Jesus again moves back to this teaching of love and obedience and how He links the two, love and obedience. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to God's Word. Verse 21, whoever has My commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him. We heard it last time, again, a couple of weeks ago, we heard this back in verse 15, where Jesus says, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. So we need to understand this. Love for Jesus Christ will always show itself in obedience to God's Word, the Word of Christ. Jesus says, whoever has My commandments. Note here what it means to have the commandments of Jesus Christ. This means more than mere head knowledge. The head knowledge is good. It's good to know God's Word. But if you don't have faith in Christ, if your love doesn't show itself in your obedience, then your knowledge of God's Word is doing you no good. The head knowledge is good, but to have the commands of Jesus Christ is to take to heart and take personally and make His teachings one's own belief and practice. Take to heart God's Word for yourself and begin to take steps of obedience, practicing obedience to God's Word. Seeing the Scriptures as meant for you, as God speaks to you, as you read your Bible. So one who has His commandments has more than head knowledge, and that person also has something we might call heart knowledge. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. It changes you. That person with heart knowledge makes daily obedience his pursuit. It doesn't mean that you're sinlessly perfect, but it means that you want your life to glorify God, and you begin to take steps to obey God, and you seek to obey Him with your life, with every area of your life. And obedience, think about this, when God's Word teaches us this, that obedience brings assurance of God's unfailing love for the believer. Note here how obedience brings assurance. You want to be assured in your faith in Jesus Christ? Note how obedience brings assurance of our salvation, and really it brings a fuller knowledge of Jesus Christ and His love for us. That's Jesus Christ making Himself known in both verses 15 and here in verse 21. Jesus linked our true love for Him with our obedience. Again, that important note that love for Christ and obedience go hand in hand. Now He links our obedience to our knowledge of Him when Jesus says, I will love Him and manifest Myself to Him. So if you love Jesus Christ, you have God's Word. In other words, you make it your own. You believe the Bible. And you realize it's for you, it's for your obedience. You have, and you keep His commandments. You take steps to obey God, daily steps to obey the Lord. And those who are obedient to God's Word are shown more and more of Christ. those who are obedient to the Lord know more and more the joy of the Lord as their strength. Those who are obedient to God's word know more and more the peace that passes all understanding, personally. Again, that's a mystery to us, how God does this work. But this is an assurance of your salvation in Christ and an encouragement of your soul to keep living for Christ. It's just as I noted earlier from 2 Corinthians 4, that believers who are obedient, God shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He shines in our hearts. So let's never forget that love for Jesus and obedience to Him go hand in hand. And as you obey, you are shown Christ by His work in your heart. As you look at your life and you realize, God is changing me. I'm not the same person I was last year or 2 years ago or 10 years ago. I'm changing. You know, God is patient, and sometimes it's a little by little change. Sometimes there's drastic change in our lives when we realize there's some sin that we need to get rid of, and God gives us the strength to stop doing that and turn from that and never turn back to it. Sometimes there's ongoing challenges that we face, that we keep battling temptation and sin in our lives, and God knows we need His help. But as we see the change that comes because we're submitting to God's word, we have the assurance that we are His. We ought never forget that love for Jesus and obedience to Him go together. Now, did you notice that verse 21 also points to God the Father and God the Son's love for the believer when it says this? Look at the second half of verse 21. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I want you to note that this is not suggesting that we are loved by Jesus because we're obedient. When you're not obedient, does God love you less? Not according to God's word. When you fail to obey, does God stop loving you? No, He does not. This actually points to the way Jesus Christ makes Himself known to those who are obedient. God's word is clear. God loves us long before we ever love Him. 1 John 4:10, for instance, makes that clear when it says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." But the point here in verse 21 is that those who truly love Jesus, those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who have trusted in Christ and have committed to turning from sin because of all that Jesus Christ has accomplished for them, because of the forgiveness that's theirs, because of the Holy Spirit that's given to them, because of the wisdom of God's Word that's given to them, those who truly love Jesus obey Him. You cannot say you love God. You cannot say you love the Lord Jesus Christ if you will not take God's Word to heart and realize that it is given for your life transformation this side of heaven. So your obedience leads to a fuller knowledge of Jesus Christ and a deeper understanding of His love for you as you walk with Christ with the Word of God dwelling in you richly. Once again, we see the confusion of the disciples at the words of Jesus. Go to verse 22. Judas, again, not Iscariot, said to Him, "Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world?" He's thinking in the flesh. So Judas, another disciple, not to be confused with Judas Iscariot, is confused by what Jesus means. It's likely he's still thinking that if Jesus is to be the Messiah, if Jesus is to be the messianic king, then he's got to be revealed in some overwhelming display of power and splendor to the watching world. That disciple, Judas, doesn't understand, nor do the other disciples understand that Jesus would rise from the dead and appear to them, but not to the unbelieving world. They're confused. They're thinking something must have happened to interrupt God's plan to show the Messiah to the watching world. But that was never God's plan. Again, Jesus graciously answers his question. How is it Jesus manifests or shows himself to his disciples and not to the world? Look at verse 23. Jesus answered him, and here it is again, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So once again, as earlier, Jesus reemphasizes the importance of obedience. The one who loves Jesus obeys. And the one who loves him is loved by the Father and receives a very special blessing from God. Jesus says, we will come to him and make our home with him. And implied in the original language here is not a temporary dwelling place either. This is not a temporary dwelling place. This is a permanent one. For those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is a permanent indwelling. You don't lose the Holy Spirit if you fail to obey. You can grieve the Holy Spirit when you fail to obey. But He is with you and He will be in you. It's a special and permanent dwelling with believers. And since those who love the Lord obey Him, they have this promise of the immediate and permanent presence of the Father and the Son. But again, we don't receive these because we're obedient. They are a gift from God when we trust in Jesus Christ. It's the finished work of Christ, the sinless Savior, that makes possible the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But we have this wonderful promise. Again, note why we obey Jesus Christ. Those who have Jesus' words, those who take the words of Christ seriously, personally, and seek to live by them, they do so not because it's their duty, not to obey Christ because it's your duty. You're to obey because you love him. It's a clear teaching here in verse 24. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. It's a kind of a serious statement, sobering to say, listen, this is not only me speaking, this is the Father speaking. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. You say you love me? Keep my words, keep my teaching, obey my commands, obey God's word. And the serious nature of this truth is made clear by that fact that Jesus emphasizes that these are words that he only speaks at the direction of God the Father. He says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So it's clear, if you say you love Jesus, then your obedience will show it. Again, not sinless perfection, but a desire to honor God, not caught up in rebelliousness, not caught up in ongoing, unrepentant sin, not caught up in sin in areas of your life that you refuse to give over to the Lord to be changed for His glory. Not sinless perfection, but this is a turning from habitual, willful, ongoing sin, turning to belief in and obedience to God's word. Love is more than words. We've been told that, right? Love is more than words. It's true here too. It's one thing to say I love God or I love the Lord Jesus Christ or I'm grateful for Jesus' sacrifice for me. We show our love by our obedience, our devotion to the truth of God's Word, our commitment to humbling ourselves to God's Word, to be changed by it, convicted by it. Love is more than words, and God is gracious as we see here today. If you truly love Jesus, you will keep His words. You will devote yourself to reading the Word of God and being changed by it for God's glory, for your good, for the good of your family, for the good of your neighbors. It is good that you obey God's Word and so prove your love for God because He has saved you from your sin. If you truly love Jesus, you will keep His words, and with your obedience, you will be given assurance in your heart that God has taken up permanent residence, a permanent dwelling place in you. As we come to this passage this morning and we grapple with these wonderful and sometimes mysterious truths, I ask again, do you want to know God? Do you want to know God? Do you want to know Jesus Christ, your Savior, more fully? When I come to passages like these in God's Word, it amazes me sometimes that God is willing to make Himself known even more and more as we humble ourselves before Him. Is that you who is willing to humble yourself before the Lord so that you can know Him more fully? If you're God's child, you are not left as an orphan in this world to fend for yourself. You have the Word, and you have the work of God in your life to strengthen you, to encourage you, to give you wisdom and encouragement and the desire even to obey on a daily basis. And God will continue to make Himself fully known to you and more fully known to you as you obey Him. What a wonderful and loving gift from God this is. This promise that as we walk in obedience to Christ, as we grow in our Christ-likeness, in our spiritual life, as we devote ourselves to growing as believers, making that our highest priority, God more and more, by the power of His Word and Spirit, makes Himself known to us more and more. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful and mysterious blessing we ought to praise God for it.